The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast, where we explore some of the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Barr.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Sassauer.
And we have the founder, chief executive officer, and director of Sport Radar. Say hello, everyone, to Carsten Curl. I am so glad you are here on the Bloomberg Business of Sports. And by the way, folks, to show you how we stretch out there, he's on the phone from St. Gallen, Switzerland. Because that's how we roll. Carsten, welcome to the Bloomberg Business of Sports.
Wow, what a welcome. Thank you for having me. And that sounds a little bit like the introduction of a boxing fight.
That's a transition. I can't do that. It's like a straight one. So, first of all, let's talk about Sport Radar. And we've talked about it before, and we're going to bring it up again. It's the leading global sports technology company, and you create experiences for sports fans and bettors. How have things been going?
Well, let's say interesting. So I think the best description. The capital markets at the moment, and I think if you interview a couple of CEOs, you hear from all of them some colors in this direction. It's going up and down. It's like a roller coaster. There are many things which companies can't influence. Many market tendencies. That is a challenging part in a public business to manage this. From an operational perspective, things are running excellent. That's the only thing I can say. So we are making up to our plans. We are beating or we are on our quarterly predictions every quarter in a row since the IPO. That is not so easy in our worldwide environment with all the little headwinds which we see in some areas.
And you're profitable in the U.S. for the first time since the 2021 IPO. So I want to get a better sense of your business in the U.S. because you provide data to teams, leagues, as well as media outlets and sport books in real time. And looking at just some of the numbers here, it's pretty stunning. Betting and gaming, that part of your business, 98% of U.S. sports books run on Sport Radar data. Talk a little bit about specifically what data that is, because as a consumer, I don't necessarily see it. Damian and I were just talking about this, but the businesses clearly need what you are providing.
Absolutely. So compare us to Bloomberg. It's a company you guys know very well, I guess.
We think.
So there are terminals with high-speed information and data, and that is consumed by people which are trying to make an advantage out of this information. Sport data works in the same way if it comes to sports betting. So that's something, if it goes into a real-time environment and if you offer prices on this or betting odds, which is the same like a probability, you depend that you have very accurate and very fast information and very reliable information. So we are speaking here about real-time sport data and information, much more valuable than if it is pre-match, if you provide this a week in advance or a day in advance. And what we just see in the US is a revolution here. So we see that sports betting operators begin to experience and try around live betting. Live betting is so more exciting than if you bet now on the next match day or short before the match is starting. You can bet in running. So you can bet on the Super Bowl bet on every touchdown, every minute you can do this. You can do the same with the NBA on the points. You can even bet, is it LeBron who is scoring 30 points or more? And that is changing during the match dynamically. For this, you need first the underlying data, and then you need the models to predict this and to predict the outcome. And these models, outside from the data distribution, is what we call our products which are moving up the value chain. So we are providing here probabilities, trading products, platform products to our clients to make the life easier for them, that they can focus on what they are best in, the marketing and the operation of the sportsbook. And we are trying to put that burden away from them.
Karsten, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, Scarlett hit on a lot of your clients, right? And you have this great B2B model. You're facing off against, as she said, sportbooks and Turner Networks and ABC and, you know, all these large, you know, venerable institutions. You know, what comes next for your average run-of-the-mill retail investor? You know, how does Sportradar plan on doing business with that individual or individuals? And what is the offering going to look like going forward as it relates to picking up that segment of the market?
We will stay in what I'm telling you now from a segmentation. That's sport. Everything what is around sport is interesting for us. And there are three segments. There are the betting operators. We believe we are the biggest and the best in the world, and we have the broadest reach. And we are profitable in all our market segments here. We have leagues and teams as partners. That's a very exciting segment, by the way. And we see a lot of movements here. I might later on add a few sentences on this. And the third one is the media and the broadcasters. And interestingly, we see that betting operators are moving into the media space, same like media companies are going to be betting operators. And the most exciting one is the leagues are going directly to the consumer. And they all need data, they all need technology, and the services connected to this. That's such a huge playing ground.
Yeah.
And keeping in mind that we have in the US, by far not all the states at the moment online with sports betting. We have India on the verge. We have Brazil beginning to regulate. We might have Malaysia and Japan coming in this year. And who knows when China is coming with a population of 1.3, 1.4 billion. So all this together gives us a solid feeling in these three business verticals, we have enormous growth potential looking to the whole world. It's not needed to think about more business models. I think we have to execute on what we have and develop our services.
Some of the current owners, I think they invested in Sportradar back in 2015. Mark Cuban.
Very clever guys.
Yes. I mean, that's, you've got a lot of big names. Ted Leonsis, Michael Jordan. What is it like? I mean, when you back now, the company's valued at $2.9 billion. What is it like you said, when you have very smart people like this, it can't be anything but a plus for the company.
Yeah, I think at the moment it's even closer to the 4 billion than to the 3, but it's changing all the time. Look, those guys, they make good money, and I'm very happy if I can make money for every shareholder. That is what I should do. I should create value for everybody. I should grow the business like I promised it. And then I hope that the market is giving us that valuation for the performance which we show. And sometimes it's a bit difficult if markets are changing their perception on valuation and the multiples are going down or no more revenue multiples, more EBITDA multiples. But in general, it's only hard work and execution on what I promised to Michael in 2013 and to Ted. And the team which I have around me is simply outstanding and sensational. And we all enjoy what we are doing. We are working in sport, but we are executing on the agenda, and that creates shareholder value. And at the end, that's everybody is interested in this. If you invest into a business, you're interested in the return.
I want to go back to the betting and gaming business with 98% of U.S. sportsbooks running on Sportradar data. What do the other 2% use?
They use many my bookie probably.
No, I'm serious. I mean, 98%, that's massive.
Yeah, look, this is so difficult to say. What that means is we are covering 92 sports the whole year around. So it's not only the US sports. And it's more than 900,000 live matches, which we provide to our clients. With this sheer volume, nearly every sports betting operator worldwide is somehow connected to sport data. And mostly, we are the primary provider for them if it comes to the raw material to the data. But we are much more interested beside the data to really add products on top of the data stack.
Okay.
The probabilities, the trading products. And that gives you then the 98%. We simply ask all clients, which we know in the US, count them and look what else is in the market. And that's how we came to the 98%.
So who's your competitor then? Carson, who's your competitor in providing this data?
I don't like that word competitor, you know. let's say market companions. We have market companions in many sectors. So we are not only providing data, we are providing audiovisual services. We are providing media services. We are providing integrity services. And for all these elements, we have companions, but we have not one who is providing the full range which we provide. So from this perspective, you might say we are unique.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Carsten, you know, it's funny, you mentioned integrity services. And earlier in our conversation, you mentioned all these new countries coming online. You mentioned Brazil, you mentioned Malaysia, you mentioned China. You know, and let's just be clear, you know, China is a black hole when it comes to all things sport related. But let's just focus on soccer, for example, where the head of China's National Soccer Federation has just been arrested on corruption charges. And again, this isn't the first time we've seen graft involved in Chinese sports and athletics. And so my question for you is, given your focus on integrity, given what Sportradar does in helping to catch graft and gambling inaccuracies and cheating and things of that nature, you know, how do you approach a country like China in terms of doing all that you do?
I'm glad that you asked this question. So, look, Sportradar's vision and principles is we are standing for fair play. We want to have fair play in the company, amongst our people, with our clients, but also with sport. And whatever we can contribute to make this happen is what we happily do. Pointing now on one country like China is a good sample, but there are many more countries which have problems in this perspective. There are many more federations which have issues with their members, which they select because we probably not screen them good enough. Or there are players which are more exposed to manipulations than others, and they are not trained well enough. So for us, we see that as our obligation that we provide these kind of services. And that's not pure for profit. So we do not earn money in the integrity sector. But integrity is one area here. Another one is responsible gaming. A third one is AML, where you need to know your client. A fourth one is, can you really provide a system to regulators that they can neutrally tax all the ones which get a license there? That's a big issue in many countries. And there is a big fraud ongoing. All those services, we can help with this because we have a knowledge on this. We have systems and platforms in place which can work on it. We can analyze player behaviors. And that's what we happily do because we believe we must work on high standards in this perspective. And we believe the only way for regulating in the market is that you have the highest standards. And whatever Sportradar can help and do, we are happily doing this. We are not criticizing the countries. We're trying to help them to open the eyes. And in case, if they want to regulate markets and if they want to help us in that market, we want to have that higher standards in and we are happy to invest here. So that's how we see this area.
Sportradar, you guys are an official partner with NASCAR ahead of the Daytona 500, the NBA. NASCAR. The NHL. Did I mention NASCAR?
NASCAR. I hear that you like the NASCAR. Now we are in the silent period, and I can't even tell you exciting developments with NASCAR. That's But you mentioned NASCAR. I heard that.
Well, see, my question is because, I mean, you deal with a lot of world sports, obviously, with FIFA and UEFA, even the NBA, obviously, out that's reaching out in other parts of the world. NASCAR, I mean, let's be honest, I'm one of those guys, was born and raised in Detroit, got family in the South, and I'm about as classy sometimes as an outhouse. So I'm just wondering if NASCAR one day will have to spread its roots and maybe people outside of the United States will embrace betting with NASCAR.
Have I told you already that we are in the silent period at the moment?
But
let's take it in this way. I can, anecdotally, I can tell you, we have a cooperation with, you mentioned the NBA, it's with the NHL and it's with the MLB. Let's take hockey as a sample, which is a more international sport.
Thank you.
And the target, like you just said, with NASCAR is the same for hockey. I was speaking to the team owners. I had the pleasure to be invited to their annual meeting. And there's a big focus of saying, hey, Carsten, in how many countries do you have clients? We said, around about 115 countries in the world. We said, and they're all consuming hockey. We said, many of them do. And with this, you can distribute the product of hockey all of a sudden to 115 countries. Then it's only the question, what of a product do you allow? Do you allow a product which is based on audiovisual feeds? We have the technology. If we have that feeds, we can enrich them with data and we can make this very sticky. We can put even the speed of the puck here in the simulations and make this more appealing. And all of a sudden, as hockey, you reach much more eyeballs. Then it's only a question, can you read that eyeballs? Can you give them most preferably a customized product that they get something which they want to see, with the players which they want to see, but it has an enormous potential to promote the brand. That goes, by the way, for all the US sports I just was talking about. The NBA is for sure a very global business already touching a lot of eyeballs, but we even can help here. And I think that's an important element. So sports betting is touching sports fans. And we have a huge distribution power here. If we have innovative products which are appealing for the fans, it can promote sports relatively cheaply and create that engagement. And that goes then into sponsorship, merchandising, ticketing, maybe sports betting, maybe gaming and gambling, maybe hybrid activities. So a super exciting territory.
Carsten, let's rip the Band-Aid off. You know, we're talking about hockey. We're talking about NASCAR. Last time you visited us, you talked about some of the sports that are taking off in sports gambling. You talked about cricket. You talked about tennis. I mean, talk to us about some of those other sports, you know, out along the fringe. Like, how are they doing? Are they really starting to make a contribution in terms of you know, the amount of money being wagered here in the U.S. and abroad?
Yes. Especially tennis, I can tell you, is very closely looking into this. And there are some very exciting things on the horizon. So I think tennis has a huge potential in the US. It has a huge potential for sports betting. It has a huge potential for doing something generally with the sport fan. I think totally underdeveloped comparing it to other sports. So I would love, and we would love, to be the technology partner for tennis to help them for a more immersive experience here. And I think there is a lot of things which can be done around this. And yeah, we touched last time on new developing sports. And I think there are a couple of nice opportunities in the US on some of the sports. Some of them probably not. Some of them dream that sports betting, that they are good for sports betting. But generally speaking, from a potential perspective, the US has one of the biggest worldwide potentials to promote some more sports than the Big Four.
Carsten Koerl, founder, Chief Executive Officer and Director of Sport Radar. Thank you, sir, very much for talking with us on the Bloomberg Business of Sports. We really do appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'm Michael Lascar, and you can follow me more on Twitter at bigbarnsports.com.
All right, two can play that game. I'm Scarlett Hockey. Follow me on Twitter at Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Damian Tennis. You can follow me at D Sassauer.
This has been the Bloomberg Business of NASCAR. And you can follow the show every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. By the way, download this show and wherever you get the podcasts.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for the Future Investor Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.